Jake, exciting news.
What's that, Steven?
I've arranged Friday with Todd Lebo's co-host. You have some lobster Benedict.
My favorite.
Lobster Benedict.
How nice of you. You know I don't eat
delicious.
Meat anymore, but I do eat
I'm going to have
seafood.
Some asparagus tips,
yeah.
Lobster Benedict, and...
I need some lobster rolls, too.
Oh, lobster roll.
Right?
Oh.
But you'll Benedict. Be gone, Nate, unfortunately. Yeah. Sorry. But lobster Benedict for breakfast and then lobster rolls for lunch.
Let's do it.
Lobster.
Right, I'll be full of Skyline chili on Thursday. Did you order it?
Yes, I did.
Oh, God.
Let's talk to
me and my big mouth.
Rustin Dodd. Rustin Dodd, good morning. How are you, Rustin?
Hey, Stephen. Good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you as well. You've been all over this country of ours. You ever had Skyline chili in Cincinnati?
You know, I never have. I only covered one Reds game one time and never had it, but it's basically like Greek chili or Greek spaghetti, right? I mean, it's like, it's more, that's the flavor profile. It's not actually chili, right?
Is that?
I don't think I've ever heard of Greek rat water.
I think they actually drop down poop on the plate.
I don't know if that's a technical meal, but I think if somebody has it, it feels more like Greek pasta than with cheese and meat on it or something.
We're ordering some of it online, and Jake's going to prepare it. We're going to make Nate eat a whole plate of it on Thursday on the show. Does that sound good?
Oh, I'd like to know. I'd like a review because it's very polarizing.
That's right.
It's terrible. That's my review. I've already had
But Jake's going to make it. He's going to add some of his special spices and seasoning.
I just had a friend reach out to me. He said his wife's family lives in Hamilton, Ohio, and they eat it all the time. They'll ship some in, like, real stuff.
Ship some or something, because they could also
avocado.
Do that.
I'll be doing something else later.
So you were at Arrowhead and you were at Allen Fieldhouse last night. You seen boy, that was a hell of a doubleheader for you. My goodness.
I know. The games actually felt very similar. I was just telling Jake when it felt like the team kind of gave it away at the end and then kind of won on a miracle. So it felt very similar. And for a second, I was like, God, Mahomes' magic is going a little too far here with Texas Tech. But anyway, yeah, it was an incredible game.
Okay, so let's talk about some of the stuff that you're working on right now. First, tell us about the book.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me on to chat about it. And to be honest, it's not, people can put it on their calendars, but don't be planning on buying any gifts anytime soon. But yeah, myself and a fellow journalist, his name is Mark Dent, we're working on a book on Patrick Mahomes and Kansas City in general. We're kind of telling sort of a pop history of the city and sort of how, you know, football and the city's history connect, and obviously this sort of rise of the Chiefs over the last, you know, 5 to 10 years, and sort of how, you know, the football team has sort of mirrored the city in certain ways in certain eras. And so we're super, like, excited about it because, you know, I mean, it's obviously an incredible time for the Chiefs and Kansas City, but it's also fun to just go back and kind of look at the history of Kansas City. It's a lot of stuff that I sort of know the basics about, but when you really dive in, it's, you know, kind of a fascinating place to sort of, like, look back at the early days and then, you know, the early 1900s and everything that kind of went into building this town.
If you need to talk to anyone about being heartbroken and tortured until finally the big payoff here, you can talk to any one of us. I'd be willing to share my stories of heartbreak and triumph with you, Rustin Dodd, over a big plate of Skyline chili.
I'd love to.
Well, please. You know what? I know how you roll. If we sit down and talk about anything, it'll be over a big Caddyshack pizza.
Oh, yeah.
How's that sound to you?
Yes, I'll be there.
Thank you. And then tell us what you were working on and what you wrote, out at Arrowhead Stadium and the Kansas City Chiefs. Tell us about that.
Yeah, well, I've just been working on a few other random stories, but I was in town and went to the game and, was excited to go to Chiefs Bills, who wouldn't be. I'd just been thinking about Terrez Paylor, who we lost about a year ago this year, or a year ago in February, and his birthday actually would be on Friday. And, you know, I don't know if you know, Chiefs fans can relate, or other people in Kansas City. But when I've, you know, watched the team this year, I've often found myself thinking about Therese and his coverage of the Chiefs and the way he loved football, and just like certain plays, you know, like when a, you know, defensive tackle like Chris Jones, or, you know, somebody like unheralded or whatever, you know, jets up the middle and makes a great stop or whatever, like little moments like that, I would find myself thinking about Therese and just being like, you know, that's the exact kind of play that would have gotten him excited. And so, yeah, I was just kind of thinking about him the other night as I was at the game, and I just kind of wanted to write a piece about sort of just remembering him and, you know, how much he would have loved a game like that. Those were sort of the games that he lived for. And, you know, there's mostly, though, I've worked with Therese for 8 years, and we were really good professional friends, and friends beyond work, but not, you know, not incredibly close beyond work, but Therese was kind of close with everybody. And more than that, he was close with Chiefs fans. I think he kind of fostered this connection with Chiefs fans. So I sort of wanted to write it just because I know there were, you know, a lot of people that have thought the same thing this season, that there has been sort of something missing. So, yeah, that was basically the piece that I sort of wrote, just sort of kind of remembering Therese and, you know, thinking about him through, you know, what an incredible game that was on Sunday.
What was going through your mind through the last few minutes of that game yourself?
You know, I was shocked that, you know, when you're there, you're not kind of plugged into like the Twitter world. You're not, you know, it's a different game experience. And when, you know, Tyreek Hill scored, you know, I thought like, well, once the Bills scored, it was like, okay, well, they left the Chiefs plenty of time. They can go down and, you know, go down and score. And then they scored instantly. And then it was like, okay, well, now they've left a little bit of time here. And then when they scored with 13 seconds, so it was like, well, okay, that's the disastrous part where there's not time now. And there was time. So I don't know. It was incredible. You know, I've been fortunate enough to be at, you know, the wild card game in 2014, and, you know, a few other games. I was at the Super Bowl, and yeah, that's probably right up there in terms of games I've been to and seen in person. I don't know. It's still, you know, I think I heard you guys talking about it yesterday, but like Tyreek Hill said, it's kind of hard to sum up, you know?
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. I liked you sliding in that you were at the Super Bowl, by the way. You know, just go ahead and, you know, make sure that the rest of us feel a little FOMO there.
Steven doesn't. He was there.
No, I was also there. I don't. I totally get what he's talking about.
No, well, yeah. I saw Steven as I had been sitting in the media auxiliary seating, and I was trying to find the press box so I could go write a story. And I was walking around aimlessly for like 15 minutes.
Oh, that's right.
And I saw Steven and Lebo and gave Steven a big hug. But I was sort of in a trance, looking for, like, I have no idea where I'm going here. So yeah, but yes, I did see Steven at the Super Bowl.
Dude, I was delirious. That was after we had, you know, spent all that time in the interview rooms. Like you said, you're right, Lebo and I, not Nate, we were all down there doing these interviews, and we couldn't find the bus back to the hotel. And we had gone all over the stadium, and it was this point, you know what? Who cares? I don't care if I ever get home. The Chiefs just won the Super Bowl, and everyone's gone. I feel like every media, and then I go, wait a minute, is that Rustin? And you were like, looked bewildered too. I go, Rustin! And I ran over and gave you a hug, and then we still didn't find the bus for like another half hour. But it was a good, those are the times. Like, Jake's been bad lost on some road trips. I didn't mind being lost. I could have been lost the rest of the night, and I'd have had a smile on my face, you know? But it was Lebo's fault, to be honest with you. He went the wrong way.
Would you go to the Super Bowl this year, Rustin?
Yeah, that's the plan, yeah. We'll see. It's, you know, it's interesting times with COVID. It's not, you know, I'd never actually covered a Super Bowl before until 2019. And it's actually, in normal times, it's a great working environment. You know, the access is great. You know, there's two or three days in a row where, you know, the players are available in the morning for an hour. It's like, you know, it's a great actual, you know, compared to what you might think it would be. But obviously that may be not the same this year, but no, I still think I would be still think I'm going. So we'll see.
So for people that miss you coming on the show every week and miss you being here all the time, you know, you've talked about the book and some of the things you're working on. Tell people what life like is right now as Rustin Dodd.
You know, it's good. Well, I'm still living in New York and still writing about sports for The Athletic. And fortunately, I have a lot of flexibility just in terms of what I do. People often ask me, like, well, what do you write about? And it's sort of anything and everything, mostly just sort of, you know, bigger features and those sort of stories. You know, so, but luckily I can still kind of peel off and write about Kansas City stuff when I have the time or opportunity and there's, you know, obviously interest. So when it comes to the Chiefs or the Royals, I can still kind of peel off and do that stuff. But oftentimes I'm just doing sort of, you know, features about other athletes, you know, around sports, or a lot of times it's stuff going on in New York with the Mets and Yankees or that kind of stuff. There's always something going on. So yeah, that's the basic gist. But yeah, still just doing the same old thing, I suppose.
Do you believe we will miss any baseball? Will the season start late? You live in New York, so that means you have all the answers for us. Tell us what to expect from this damn lockout.
Well, I don't think I can say anything that's not already pretty much obvious. I think really it's going to come down to the players, right? I mean, we'll see. When I say it comes down to the players, I not to say that they need to give in or that it's, you know, but I have less hope that the owners will be giving in this negotiation, I guess I would say. And so I think will come down to how hard do the players want to fight. And if they do want to fight and try to really, you know, change the structure of the new CBA and just sort of the structure of the game in general, I do think that there could be, you know, at least if not a lot of games missed, at least a little bit of delay in the season, and potentially games missed. But I don't know. We'll see. There was some reporting out of New York yesterday that the players did give one concession so far in the when players would go to free agency. So that may be a sign that the players are, you know, really trying to not, you know, basically go to the mattresses, as they say, and want to get this negotiation done when there's time to start the season on time. But I do think if it really comes down to just how much stomach the players have, but we'll see.
We will see. Better not keep me from Bobby Wood Jr. Not one day late.
Oh, man.
Not one effing day late. I can tell you that right now. Do an article called Baseball Jesus about Bobby Wood Jr. How's that sound?
It was great. I can hear Jake laughing in the background.
I got all these ideas just floating around in my noggin. I can just pass them along to you.
Football right? Jesus here, not baseball Jesus?
See, there it is.
Yeah, Jesus is everywhere.
Hey, so
Jesus.
Everywhere.
That's exactly right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, naysayer.
Thank baby Jesus.
Go ahead.
So
off.
Living in New York as a kid, we know that everybody that's from Kansas City, you know, takes our adorable civic pride wherever they go. So I assume you're doing that, repping Kansas City in New York. We around here are, I think, getting a little tired of seeing everybody outside of Kansas City trying to find a reason to say that some other quarterback is as good or better than Patrick Mahomes now. It's like they've already decided that they're tired of him being the best, so they want to try to find something else. Is that your experience, or do most people, when they find out you're from Kansas City, do they all agree that Patrick Mahomes is, in fact, the best quarterback in the NFL right now?
You know, I think I was thinking about this the other day because, you know, it does, if you want to look for slights, you know,
yeah,
you can find them, right?
Yep.
It's not hard. But I do think that, you know, if somebody finds out that I'm from Kansas City, you know, the first thought is, wow, Patrick Mahomes, he's incredible.
That's
you know?
Right.
I'll tell you a quick story that actually came up a week or two ago. I went and got my COVID booster shot. This is like a week ago. I was a little late to get on that, but I went and got it. And I was at this little kind of vaccination center kind of situation where there was just like a lot of doctors kind of, you know, spread across like a big floor. And I start chatting with this young doctor, and I was wearing a Kansas City Monarchs t-shirt. And And he said, "Oh, Kansas City, is that where you're from?" And this guy's probably like 30-ish. I don't know, maybe he's maybe a little older, but a young guy. And I said, "Yeah, I'm from Kansas City." And he goes, "I always struggled to get into the NFL. And he goes, I just never really liked football." He goes, "But a few years ago, I started watching Patrick Mahomes, and it's like I cannot stop watching that guy." And he's like, he's incredible. And I know it sounds like a made-up anecdote that somebody would make up, but that's the kind of thing I feel like that happens sometimes where people, it's like it's an easy comparison, but it's like Steph Curry. It's like there may be a little backlash here and there, but I think, if you're looking at, like, approval ratings in sports, there's many more people that are going to, love watching Patrick Mahomes and then dislike him. There's not as much to hate. So I don't know if that answers the question, but I do think that it's easy to find slights and be like, if anybody suggests he's not the best quarterback in football, but I do think it's also one of those things where it's like, no, everybody more or less knows he's the best quarterback in football. So I do feel like that's true. So.
Only two kinds of people don't agree, liars and haters, all right?
Wow.
Or both. Right. Rustin, it was good talking to you. Thank you so much for coming on the show with us.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
Let me know when you want to meet down at Caddyshack, all right? I'm buying.
I will send you a text. Thanks, Steven.
Let's do it. That's Rustin Dodd. We'll be back after this to wrap things up on WHB.
Okay. The book